Please note, this podcast does not provide medical advice. The information, images, and other materials contained are for informational purposes only. No information discussed is a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Please seek help from your physician for medical questions or advice. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Brain Coach Podcast. I'm your host, Mary Turos. I'm your brain coach. And my goal is to create a community of educators, therapists, clinicians, family members, researchers, and any other person who supports a healthy brain. Thanks for joining us today, and let's get started. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Brain Coach, and I'm your host, Mary Turos. And today, I am honored to have Carrie Leach, health and fitness coach and owner of Mint Condition Fitness for Women. Thank you for being here, Carrie.
Hey, Mary. It's my pleasure to be here. It's great to talk with you.
Yeah, and I'm really excited about this because you know I love fitness, and I love how it relates to overall happiness and just general health and brain development, all good stuff. So just want to dive right in and just explain what your profession is. What is a health and fitness coach, and how did you get into this profession?
I love talking about this. So my background is primarily pharmaceutical sales and mostly in the diabetes market. So several years ago, I was in a doctor's office, and you know how they have, you know, sometimes the TV will be on with the health news and stuff like that in a waiting room. And I saw some really sad statistics about people with diabetes and younger people having type 2 diabetes. And, you know, since I was in the diabetes market, as far as promoting diabetes medicines, I had the opportunity to talk to a lot of these physicians about what do your patients think and how do they feel when they first get this diagnosis? Is it scary? Because I feel like I would be scared. Like that would be scary to me. And they say, well, you know, we try and talk about lifestyle changes first, but 95% of people just want to take a pill or take medicine for it. It just really struck me. And I thought, you know, I want to be more part of the solution before it gets to the medicine stage. Right. And so I did some research regarding personal training and nutrition coaching, and I ended up choosing the American Council on Exercise is where I have my personal training certification from. And I've got a nutrition coaching certificate from a organization called Precision Nutrition. And the reason that I chose Precision Nutrition, it was because it's more about healthy habits and not fad diets, gimmicks, things like that. So science-based, you know, I'm super into the science part. So both American Council on Exercise and Precision Nutrition are more science-based and not, oh, this is what's the fad right now.
That's wonderful. So what current trends and research are you seeing in your field, the good or the bad?
I'm really excited about how things are progressing. And you think about the fitness industry, it's pretty much still in its childhood. You know, remember Jack LaLanne? And he was kind of the first fitness person. And, you know, when you're a kid, you make a lot of mistakes. And I think that has happened in the fitness industry. There have been a lot of mistakes. I remember the first time I went to a gym, you know, you would sign up and then you could get a personal training session. I was early 20s. So I was pretty much in shape, you know, I was pretty in shape at that point. And so this personal trainer took me through and showed me some exercises, and it was really grueling to the point where I literally never went back. So like, I was sore for days. He was making me do, like, I remember it so clearly, these bench presses and like, oh, come on, like that type of attitude. And I never went back. And so when I became a personal trainer, I was like, I am never going to act like that. So what we're kind of seeing now is a really slow, and it's a really slow shift, but I'm seeing more coaches and more organizations, not just coach, this is what you should eat, and this is, you know, you have to do these exercises. It's more, okay, what do you like to do as far as movement? What, you know, like non-deprivation as far as food. But really the most important is I'm seeing a lot more mindset discussions with coaches and clients and different organizations having that as a main part of their philosophy. And when you think about, and I've done it too, you know, I've, you know, tried the supplements and tried the quick fixes and things like that. And so many women at this point, especially women, but men too, have just become, they just have forgotten what satiety is, yeah. You know, and so people are used to having X amount of food on their plate and eating it all and either being like starving or absolutely stuffed. And so a lot of coaches I'm seeing, and this is something that I specialize in, is taking the client back and relearning what those satiety signals feel like. I'm sure Mary, you've seen a lot of the research on food and eating and visual cues and things like that. And it's really fascinating. So the shift that I'm seeing that I really like is more towards the mindset and the habits and away from killing yourself in the gym. You know, never, you can never eat any sugar or, you know, have a glass of wine or anything like that.
You have to have the right nutrients in to have your body working right. So I love that. I love that it's shifting. It's such a relief to me because I think I even mentioned to you in a previous conversation, I wish I could run 5 miles and then eat 3 donuts, right? And have it all even out. But that's not a healthy way. And that's not what the science is showing, right? And that's not really, if I want a donut, you should enjoy your donut.
Exactly.
Maybe they eat them every day, right? So
exactly. Yeah. Make the choice. You know, you think about people are always talking about motivation and, well, I'm just not motivated to go to the gym or I'm just not motivated to exercise. And so, you know, kind of how I talk to my clients is motivation is actually BS. You know, you have to just do it, you know, and then the motivation will come because you feel rewarded and you feel good. But also you can't just think, you know, I want to go to the gym because I want to get in shape. You know, and I encourage my clients to ask themselves why 5 times. I call it the 5 whys. So someone comes in and I ask, you know, why are you interested in doing fitness and nutrition coaching? And it's almost always the first answer, oh, I need to get in shape. You know, I want to lose some weight. And when you really dig into it, that's really not their bottom line. Okay. So, you know, well, why do you want to do that? Well, you know, because maybe they've had a high blood pressure scare or their cholesterol numbers are high. And because I work with a lot of women, so often when you drill down to those 5 whys, asking yourself, why am I doing this 5 times? It so often comes down to, I want to be alive to play with my grandkids. Mm-hmm. I want to be able to get up and down off the floor with my baby granddaughter, you know, things like that. I'm doing this so that I can be healthy for my grandkids, as opposed to, well, I can do this tomorrow, you know, when you just have that kind of top layer of getting in shape, kind of that vague goal, you know, it's hard to pinpoint and it makes it really easy to hit the snooze button.
And we know that the more specific the goal, the more achievable it is. So I like that a lot, the 5 whys. That's really good. It's really good. So what are you excited about, either professionally or personally?
It's probably obvious. I'm very excited about kind of this shift that's slowly happening. But also I am am really excited about how women feel after they've kind of come to terms with the, okay, I actually don't have to starve myself or cut out fruit or something ridiculous like that, you know, and kind of seeing how they light up. And I absolutely love when someone comes to me and is like, I just had a client this past Sunday who came and she was like, I've only been, you know, coming to you for less than a month, but I'm already feeling stronger and I can see muscle definition.
Oh, wow.
And so when you hear things like that, or, you know, I have another client who her cholesterol numbers are low. She's like, I know I have a long way to go, but I know that I'm going to get there. And I know it's not going to be an overnight thing, but it's happening and I'm progressing. So I get just really excited when clients share their stories like that. So I know that number one, when they're doing well, you know, success breeds success. So right. When they're doing well, they're more likely to keep doing well. And for me, it gives me an extra boost of motivation to continue to talk to people. And, you know, sometimes it takes several conversations for someone to really figure things out for themselves, you know. So it's like a win-win on both sides, in my opinion.
Yeah, absolutely. So without putting you too much on the spot, in general terms, what do you see as the connection between what we eat and how we move, you know, and through exercise, and how that supports brain health?
So that's a great question. And there's been a lot of research on that recently, actually. You know, if you are eating protein and vegetables and moving on a regular basis, I mean, you know, you feel better. And we always hear about the endorphins and things like that. And that's all great. But a lot of the studies now and a lot of the research is showing that, you know, you have this movement and a lot of times for people, it'll be cardio or it'll be like a strenuous strength training or something a little bit more intense than just taking a walk. But, you know, you increase your heart rate, more oxygen and blood comes to the brain, you know, your brain release hormones and it provides an environment for brain cells to actually grow. And, you know, there's several studies that have shown that regular exercise is beneficial to brain health, even in people at risk for developing dementia and Alzheimer's. Mm-hmm. So I just think that, and that's been shown over multiple studies over several different populations. So the fact that someone who is at risk for having dementia or Alzheimer's, and I think people are so terrified of those things, you know, that, and knowing that, oh, if I exercise, and I think the general number is about 30%, and you're 30% less likely to develop those memory issues and cognitive issues when you do regular exercise.
It's also interesting, talking with some doctors who specialize in anxiety and depression and, you know, some of the other mental health issues that we're facing, that doctors tell me that they're reluctant to prescribe an exercise routine, even though the research really supports this idea that if you exercise, particularly running and cardiovascular exercise, you help your brain, you know, you help stimulate the good parts of your brain. And they're reluctant to offer that because, going back to what you were saying with the diabetes, a lot of times people don't want to put the work in. They just want to take the medication and think that's going to solve everything. And it, you know, sometimes you need it, sometimes you don't, but it's that combination, right? So I thought that was really interesting that a lot of the studies that are coming out support exactly what you're saying, that if you exercise regularly, you are supporting good body, brain, gut health, right? So I love it. I love that you're doing this and you're part of this movement to bring this mindfulness and this joy instead of slogging it out as punishment for something you ate. It's a joy and freedom of your body, right?
Yeah, I always tell people, and I even catch myself thinking it every once in a while too, you know, but exercise is not a punishment for eating. We have to learn how to separate those two things. There's no morality in food. You know, you're not good or bad because you've eaten one thing or something or another thing. We're human.
Right.
You know,
yeah, food is not inherently good or bad, except maybe high fructose corn syrup, right? Anyway, discussion for another day. This next part is what I call like the rapid fire lightning round questions. So are you ready for it? Ready to go?
I'm ready.
All right, let's do it. All right. So do you have a mantra or some sort of vision statement? And if you do, can you share it with us?
Yes, this has actually been a mantra of mine since my early 20s. I saw it in a Nike ad and I've had it taped up on my mirror ever since, like 3 decades basically. And it's never too late to have a life and never too late to change one.
Oh, I like that. I like that a lot.
I love it.
That's good for personal and business. I love it. All right. So what's the most audacious failure you've had, or your personal favorite failure?
I'll tell you one that I've actually learned the most from. So when I started in personal training, there was a lot of information I had that I wanted to share with other people. And it's like, you know, when you're a doctor, you have that special secret language that regular people don't know about. So I was just really bad at communicating and meeting people where they were when I had my first clients and saying, nope, this is what you should do. This is what I'm telling you should do. And it doesn't work that way, you know? And as I've kind of grown and learned more about that mindset and different philosophies, so I look back on that and I'm like, oh gosh, that was, that was terrible.
Things that could be different, but that, you know, what's cool about this podcast is everybody I've talked with has basically said the same thing, basically said, oh God, when I wish I had done this better in my early days. But everything's a learning experience. Yeah. It's just a data point, right? So everybody's failing at something at some point. And if they're not, they're lying or they're not trying hard enough.
Yes.
As simple as that. So what motivates you on days where you're overwhelmed or you don't feel like doing something? How do you get through the stickiness?
So for me, I've got, you know, Mira, you know, I've got 3 daughters, and ever since they were little, my bottom line is being a good role model for them. If I feel demotivated, or if I'm not kind of like sure what I'm doing, or I'm feeling even my confidence starts slipping, I think, okay, would I want one of my kids to see me like this? Or would I want one of them to feel this way that I'm feeling? And how can I, you know, kind of talk myself out of it, which would help me, you know, help other people, right? Not exactly therapy, but kind of like that talk stuff that makes people more engaged with themselves, if that makes any sense. You know, a lot of times when you talk it out, you're like, oh, you figure it out once you say it out loud. I always think about, okay, what would I tell one of my kids in this situation? And then I kind of just tell it to myself.
Yeah. So it's kind of like a form of talk therapy.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's nice. So if somebody wanted to go into your field, what advice or suggestions, or, you know, what path should they take to get into it?
Well, the first thing is you don't have to be you don't have to have like a perfect body, or you don't have to be 25, 95 pounds. You know, if you are like I said, it's never too late to have a life and never too late to change one. The people who are really the best coaches aren't necessarily the ones that look like they should be fitness models. You know, they're the people who really are able to connect with other people. And so if you think that's the kind of person you are and you're really, really passionate, I say go for it. And there's a lot of clubs now, if you want to just do part-time training, you can, you know, there's a huge community of online trainers. There's a lot of different things you can do if you like fitness and you want to be involved in it. So you should not just you know, talk yourself out of it, because maybe you don't look perfect. I am far from perfect looking, you know, and that was a hang up for me for a while. And that was something that I had to get over myself. So I think if you have someone, or if you're interested in getting into it, do it. You know, be sure you research the kind of certifications you want to get, you know, because some are more respected than others, you know, like National Association of Sports Medicine, American Council on Exercise are two of the big ones that a lot of employers want you to have. But, you know, it really just depends on where you want to go with it. But my biggest piece of advice is don't let your own hangups get in your way.
Good advice. So Carrie, how can people find you?
My website is www.mintcondition.com. I primarily specialize in female clients, but I do have male clients as well. And I wanted to give an offer to your listeners, Mary, if you email me, or if any of your listeners email me at carrie@mintyfreshfitness.com, I will send you a free ebook on exercise. And it has, this book includes, you know, reasons why people don't exercise, you know, maybe reasons why you should. And it also includes at the end a 2-week workout, including cardio, strength training, and stretching.
Wow.
So
it's
I
like
wanna
Oprah, giving away gifts.
Yes.
You get a book. And you get a book.
Yeah. So just let me know, carrie@mintyfreshfitness.com, and I'm happy to send that out.
That's awesome. Thank you so much. And we'll put your contact info in the show notes too. So for the people who aren't, you know, maybe aren't oral listener, you know, can't process as well, we'll have it written out for you folks too. So don't worry.
I listen to podcasts often when I'm driving, so not the ideal time to write down information.
It's always on social media, so we'll find you somehow. Thank you so very much. I really appreciate you taking the time to talk to us about this and really bringing the mindfulness into the workout process and just having some joy in movement and joy in eating, right? That's so important.
I'm so glad you had me on to talk, Mary. I really, really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you. And you know, I'm sure if we have follow-up questions, as we usually do, we'll shoot them off to you, or maybe we'll have you come back and just do some question and answer segments. All right, everybody. Well, thanks for joining us tonight, and we hope you all have a great day. Take care. For more information, you can find us on Twitter or Facebook at BrainCogCoach. Or visit our website at braincogcoach.com. I'll see you next time, and make it a great day.